Hi, this is John O'Hare from Clear Lake, Iowa. And this episode is brought to you by Ivy Envy Patreon supporters like me. Learn more at patreon.com/IvyEnvy. Next!
Cubs Convention 2016 is over, and on this episode of the Ivy Envy podcast, we're talking about the event. I was there, and I'll share my experiences, and we'll discuss some of the news that came out over the weekend at the Sheraton in Chicago. Jake Arrieta and the Cubs have some work to do in coming to terms on a contract for the 2016 season. We'll tell you how far apart they are and where things go from here. All of this and more on this, the 373rd episode of the Ivy Envy podcast. Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the Ivy Envy podcast. It is our Cubs Convention 2016 episode. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hey, it's Andy.
And Kurt.
We apologize. This episode is coming out a day late. I got home from Cubs Convention Sunday afternoon, and my voice was shot. I was exhausted. But I do want to thank Danny Rocket of the Sunranto podcast. He's at Sunranto on Twitter. He hosted me all weekend. Time flies by when you hang out with that guy. I'll warn you guys.
Like you're having fun or something.
Right. You can decide to call it a night early. We left like Saturday night. We left the bar / restaurant around midnight, and we were still up at 2:30 talking in his apartment.
Nice. So did you peek in the urn?
No. He told me there was nothing in there, so I'll take his word for it.
You just trusted him?
Of course he would.
Well, except he does have other urns in his house. That's for another discussion, another episode. But, you know, that's what happens when you get two podcasters together. We like to talk. So we had a lot of fun. But Danny was very generous for letting me sleep in at his place this weekend. And I believe he's in the blab tonight. Oh, yeah, he's doing squats in the blab.
Doing squats in the blab.
So this morning I was trying to figure out how to, you know, quote unquote report on Cubs Convention. And I think if you cared about Cubs Convention and the news coming from it, you probably were following me and others on Twitter. You probably know what happened if you're listening to this, but I'll still go through some of this stuff and just kind of share my experience. So I'm basically just going to spew out a bunch of stuff, and you guys can interrupt me and be the voice of the listener and ask questions, I guess. So, but first
sounds
off,
good.
First Let's off, I really enjoyed Cubs Convention this year. Last year was the first Cubs Convention that I had gone to, and I've said on here that I'm not a big fan of big crowds. I'm not a fan of Chicago in January. Last year, the crowds were crazy. The session rooms were packed, standing room only, really uncomfortable, very hot. And so this year was supposed to have even more attendees. And so I was really kind of unsure of what this was going to be like. I didn't get up there on Friday for the opening ceremonies. I worked a full day and didn't get up there until after everything was done. But I did go to the Sheraton to get my pass. And I went over to the Cubs Twitter social thing for bloggers and stuff at Lizzie McNeil's. But before that, I did have the opportunity to meet Casey Knapp. And Casey lives up in Wisconsin, and he's listened to us for a really long time, interacts with us on Facebook and Twitter quite a bit. And Casey was kind of at the top of my list of people I wanted to run into. So I knew things were off to a good start when I ran into Casey, like, immediately. And Friday night, I also ran into Wes from the Cubs Fans in Oklahoma group. I believe he's in the blab tonight, too. He was with Fergie Jenkins for the weekend, so Wes was pretty easy to find. You can usually find Fergie at any Cubs-related event. Lizzie's was fun.
I mean, he traveled with... He was, like, Fergie's assistant?
Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. He was like his right. He was like a Fergie's bodyguard, I think.
Okay.
No, I don't know. But Lizzie's was fun. Andy, we did that last year, and it's just a lot of fun to hang out and meet the people that you interact with all season long on Twitter, the people you follow on Twitter and everything. And that really just, in addition to that Friday evening event, just the whole weekend, it's really cool to like talk to somebody, sit down, you know, like at bingo, Cubs bingo. I sat down and like talked to people that I didn't realize I even followed them on Twitter. I had no idea that was them. So that is kind of a cool thing about, you know, these types of conventions and stuff. But, you know, Friday night, I got to meet a lot of new people. I got to meet Evan Altman from Cubs Insider. He does a really good job over there. I finally got to meet Jeremy Deamer from the Wrigleyville Nation podcast. Of course, I've hung out with Pat several times, so it was good to see him again. I met Mauricio Rubio from Baseball Prospectus. He was there. And then kind of the...
Also running for president, right?
right. but, you know, the usual suspects were there. Brett from Bleacher Nation, Justin Jabs, and Steph at Full Count
Kaiser
Tommy.
Kaiser Sose.
What's that?
And Kaiser Sose.
Okay. So yeah, I know I'm forgetting people that I talked with, you know, beverages were consumed. And if I forgot, to mention you, I apologize. But you know, you get drinks in your belly and you're in a large room of people, you forget who you talk to. I did get to talk to, at Cubs for a while. That was pretty cool. He's a super nice guy. I've kind of met him before, but hadn't really talked to him. But super nice and does an absolutely incredible job with Cubs Twitter. I'm interested in social media, so it was really interesting to hear how he and Kevin Sagi and their team changed the Cubs social approach and how they've kind of implemented things and worked with MLB. And anybody that follows the Cubs on Twitter knows how good they are. And so it was really cool to hang out and talk with him for quite a while.
Did you have to call him at Cubs the whole time?
Well, Danny walked in as I was talking to him and I was like, oh, hey, Danny, this is at Cubs. this is Cubs. So yeah, Friday night was pretty much a social thing. So let's move on to Saturday. And full disclosure here, I did receive a media pass to cover this event, but I want to make sure that you know, anybody listening to this understands that that doesn't influence anything that I say about the convention. In previous conversations with the Cubs, I know that they have no intention of influencing our voice here on the podcast by giving us access to certain things. I'm not going to catch any grief for anything negative that I say about the convention. And I say that because I have a lot of positive things to say, and I don't want someone to think that I'm only being positive because of that access. You're right. Right. And I'll be honest, I do have a few negative things to say about the weekend, just to show that it's not all sunshine and lollipops. So my general thoughts, while going to the different sessions, they expanded the rooms. It felt like the rooms were maybe double the size that it was last year. And it was at times frigid in the rooms, which was great. I loved it. Because last year was really hot and stuffy. Kind of, I don't know, you get a lot of sports fans in a room and things have, and there's a certain odor. And I only experienced that odor a couple times this last weekend. One time, it's like, it was great. There were like empty seats. Like, I think for almost every session but one, I had empty seats around me. The one session that I didn't was because like this lady came and sat like literally on top of me. Like, she overlapped and she sat on top of me and she had that odor that I'm referring to.
Shouldn't have made your lap look available.
But other than it, that, you know, during with that lady, I did not feel cramped at all anywhere in the entire place. I did not feel cramped, but the crowd was massive. I mean, I think it was just managed a lot better than it was last year. And
so was it at a different Sheraton or the same one?
No, it's the same one, but I think they just had things set up differently. Okay. Andy, do you remember where like the kids' room was last year?
Yeah, I have to imagine that the size of that was reduced a little bit.
Well, they moved it. It was somewhere else. And so like that room that was next to it, they opened it up. So, I mean, it was like the rooms were literally double the size. It just felt like things were maybe a little bit more spread out. And I'll say that it improved my experience massively. And
if that can't be overstated, like how much it felt like you're in a mosh pit a lot last year. I mean, it really did detract from the experience a lot.
Yeah. And it did not feel like that at all this year. Like the only time that I experienced like a crowd and kind of like anxiety in a crowd was like, I needed to get to do an interview and I couldn't find where I was supposed to go. And I had to basically go through that like autograph line and it like snakes around and I had to like cut through it all over the place. So that was the only area that I thought was really crowded, but like up in the sessions, it was not bad at all. And I mean, like I said, there were like, I don't think there were any standing room only sessions. Like there were seats if you wanted them. So, huge improvement. And
you think it was so nice because a ton of the people are down chasing autographs the whole time.
You know, I mean, there is, I think, that's possible that the Cubs have a more interesting, players. And so maybe there were more people there for autographs and stuff like that. But I really attribute it to making the rooms like twice as big. I think that made a huge impact because I mean there were still a ton of people in there, so I think that's what it was. But I mean last year when we were coming back on the train, we recorded an episode to wrap up Cubs Convention last year on the train, and I think we were pretty certain that neither of us would return this year, and I see no reason to not go next year. I mean, if they ran it like they did this one, it was fine. I mean, I think Kurt, you would even have a positive experience.
Yeah. And it basically your wrap up of last year's made me convinced that it was not a good idea for me. So,
yeah,
I can handle large numbers of people as long as there's space for them. But what you described last year, I had no interest in participating in. So,
yeah, it was.
But it's good to hear because I actually would like to go, in a less hectic.
Yeah, this year was definitely better. And I would imagine that they kind of learned from the influx of people last year. And they made really positive changes. So, yeah, anybody that I scared off before, I endorse it now. big picture, looking at the weekend news-wise, I think it was a bit of a disappointment compared to last year. It seemed like we learned a lot of specifics about the renovations and other things last year. I don't believe I really learned much about anything from the business side of things this year. I went to the business operations session with Crane Kenny, here's the negativity that you're looking for, if that is what you're looking for. First off, Crane really sticks to the script. Rhyme with it.
Yeah, most people that go probably aren't as interested in the.
I think a lot of people are though.
The pure baseball side, don't you think?
I think a lot of people are interested in it, and especially I remembered last year that a lot of the people around me were like maybe Wrigleyville residents that really kind of care about. You know, mm-hmm. those types of things and what's going on. So I don't know.
Hey. And just more significant things to report as far as news last year too.
Right. Right.
So that makes a big difference. I'm sure. I mean, it seemed like they were actually the media was kind of trying to glean and like even manufacture in like some interest in what they had to report. Like Crane saying the thing about being worried about security or whatever.
Right. Yeah. It's about 30 minutes or so, and it starts right off. And the theme throughout the entire thing is thank you for your patience. And Danny and I talked about this quite a while, and it's like, don't apologize. You know, mm-hmm. I know the renovations aren't going to happen overnight, you know, especially with the Cubs staying in the ballpark and not leaving for a season. I'm being patient. So stop reminding me that I'm being patient and making me wonder, oh, should I not be patient? You know, it's like, it's a constant apology. And I just don't like it. I don't know. I just didn't care for that. Own it. You know, we're fixing our house. There you go. Just own it. Own it. Then it's going to take a while. And that's easy for me to say that, you know, sitting where I am, I'm not schooled in public relations. And I'm sure there's a strategy to the Cubs PR. But I was thinking that there's a bit of a disconnect with everything. And I really, like I mentioned Cubs Twitter before, I really enjoy, what I really enjoy about Cubs Twitter, or at Cubs, I should specify, what I enjoy about at Cubs on Twitter is that they aren't conventional when it comes to public relations. I wish we saw more of that across the board. But again, I understand that that's easy for me to say. But of the 30 minutes of Crane Kenny's speech, it felt like the first 15 to 20 minutes were just recapping 2015. And it's the business operations session. And so I want to hear business stuff, not we won set 97 games and we had the National League Rookie of the Year and we had the National League Cy Young winner and the National League Manager of the Year. I don't care. That has nothing to do with the business stuff. I don't like... He spent a lot of time recapping how kind of magical the 2015 season was. And it's like, that's, I could go like, that's baseball that, you know, I could go. And plus it was a few months ago. I do remember winning 97. Yeah, I remember the National League Rookie of the Year. I'm sure that those points,
man, you didn't want to talk about it then. So right. Well, let's not try to rehash it now. Crane.
But I'm sure that those points were covered quite effectively in the opening ceremonies. And so I didn't understand why there was so much focus on that stuff in the business operations session. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, did he have much to say in the way of updating how things are going with the renovations, like the clubhouse, for example?
Yeah, in a way. I mean, there was a lot of that kind of stuff. The I'm sorry, we were good, but I'm sorry, that type of stuff. But he did talk a lot about the changes coming to the ballpark and the neighborhood in 2016. They showed some visuals of the clubhouse. That thing looks amazing. It looks beautiful. Like, I need to take a tour of Wrigley Field just so I can see that thing. I don't like, that's all I want to see. I've already seen everything else.
And when is that scheduled to be done?
It is scheduled to be done opening day. Okay. Like, and I think, I can't remember exactly how they worded it, but I'm pretty certain that he said something about like they wanted it done opening day. Like they did not want players arriving to a half finished product or project. You know,
there's probably some weird clause in Hayward's contract that if the new clubhouse is not open opening day, he's going back to St. Louis or something.
It's like, it's going to be like a throwback to opening day last year. Like it's an okay clubhouse. Most of it's closed and the bathrooms don't work.
It got cold and it snowed. Sorry.
Right. So that thing looks amazing. It looks great. The hotel across Clark, in the plaza where the triangle lot was above the clubhouse, that will be under construction. And it sounds like they hope to have it finished by the end of the season. At some point towards the end of the season, they want it done. They did a really cool, 3D tour of that area, and it was really neat. I think it's going to be a really cool thing. I really like the way that it looked, and I don't really understand why some people dislike the plaza idea. And if you're listening to this and you don't like the plaza idea, let me just ask you, will you really miss the triangle lot? Is that is that what you're going to miss? Because I don't have sentimental
just
feelings.
So much there now.
I don't have sentimental feelings towards the triangle lot, but he said something about them moving from a 25-week construction cycle to a 20-week construction cycle, and basically because they expect postseason play during the rest of the construction. So I thought that was kind of interesting. One thing, this has nothing to do with anything, but they call the hotel a boutique hotel. And for some reason, as a dude that lives in the middle of nowhere and has chickens, the term boutique hotel cracks me up. I have no idea why. I don't know. I don't understand what that is.
Not a chain. It's like,
no, it is a chain though.
Well, what is it?
I don't know. I can't remember.
If it's a Sheraton, it's not a boutique.
Well, I think they said something about having 125 rooms. Does that make it boutique? Like it's not huge? I don't know.
I think it's usually smaller and kind of different. I could be totally wrong here. I really don't know.
That sounds right to me too.
Like it's a little quirkier. Like they're usually decorated and they're smaller. Like they're don't know.
I get to stay in that boutique hotel in a few weeks for a work conference. I can't wait. I didn't know it was boutique. I'm pretty excited now.
I don't know. I don't understand why they're
I mean small and expensive.
Yeah, that is probably, yeah, because here's the deal. When I don't know why we're getting off on this topic, but when I lived in California right before we moved, for a short period of time I worked for Vespa, and they did not call them Vespa stores, they called them Vespa boutiques. I don't know why. I'm not sure.
Just so you know, Don in the chat says, guys, stop saying boutique. People are getting kind of tired of it.
All right, we'll move on. So as far as other renovations go, they really focused on the big changes with the hotel and the plaza. They may have gone into more detail with other renovations during the off season after I left. I know that they're expanding restrooms. The marquee was temporarily removed, and I believe that the facade of the ballpark will be improved. And they're not done in the bleachers. I think we're going to see more changes in 2016 out there. And in addition to the plaza and the hotel, it's worth mentioning that they'll be working on the office building, which is part of the plaza. So it looked really neat. I mean, I'm sure that if you wanted to find that like animated tour of that area, I'm sure that the Cubs will post it somewhere. And if it was really cool. I think it's gonna be a neat place. And just a few other tidbits from that. All Friday home games will be at 1:20 instead of the 3 or 3:10 or whatever they did. They're all going to be at 1:20, which people in the neighborhood really seem to like. So I don't know. Not being a Chicagoan,
I kind of enjoyed the later. Yeah, I think you're probably about to say the same thing, but I kind of like the later start because then it opened the door for us to stop on the way home from work and, you know, watch the game.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm not even sure. I left shortly after that, so I'm not even real sure why they did that.
Well, and I guess that came from Madden.
Madden, that's right.
He wanted a better routine for the players.
Right.
So he didn't really like that they were shifting day games around so much, so he wants a more consistent start time.
It makes a lot of sense.
It does in a way, but at the same time, Danny and I were talking about that. He did tell me that was the reason why, and I was thinking, yeah, but like, imagine if you played a Thursday game, a Thursday night game, and then you had to do a late flight, you get in late. It seems like a 3 o'clock afternoon game would be a little bit easier to adjust than that, and I don't know.
I bet the players though are kind of like, you know, I want to have a Friday night, and the earlier start would give them that too.
Maybe Madden did it for party reasons.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Get their drink on.
And another thing is that he said that 98% of season ticket holders renewed their tickets. So for those of us on the waiting list, I think it's going to be a while.
I'm curious of who the 2% are that didn't. I'm like,
well,
this is it.
Well, imagine like people maybe move.
Deaths.
Corporate.
Yeah, deaths, or just maybe you lose your job. I mean.
Yeah, I guess.
Nothing good.
That's, and no matter what, it's bad timing. Like,
right.
Probably had them for a while.
Yeah. So that was the gist of that section or session. He opened it up to question and answers, and there was probably a decent amount of information in that, but I left to go to the area where the minor league teams were at that point to do an interview. So I'm not sure what else was discussed, and if I didn't hear it or see it, I don't really even know what happened. I haven't read a ton of information on it. I figured just word of mouth I would hear things, but it really just seemed like there wasn't a lot of news this year like there was last year. So I missed most of the Ricketts family session. That was first thing in the morning, so I can't really talk about that. After that session, I did get to meet a listener, Greg. He lives down in the Quincy area. Super nice guy. And I think being able to, like I said, meet the people that we interact with on Twitter and be able to meet listeners, I think that's my favorite thing about Cubs Convention. So it was really nice to meet Greg. I enjoyed the front office session a lot. So I don't know. I would just love to sit and listen to Theo and Jed talk all day. I could do that. I just, they need to just like have their own radio show or something where the two of them just talk, because it was really fascinating. I think they're always interesting. Lynn Casper was the moderator, and he opened it up to questions like right away, which was kind of surprising. That is the session that gave us the now famous crazy hat lady. And man, oof, boy.
But he was so polite too.
He was very polite.
Her rant.
Yes.
So a nice polite answer.
Last year it was a prepared statement guy. This year it's crazy hat lady. And if you're wondering like, oh, why would everybody call her crazy hat lady? First off, I believe that she was wearing two hats. I think she was wearing like a baseball hat backwards and then like a bucket hat over it. But the bucket hat had, I don't know, maybe like 75 pins in it, had a couple of stuffed animals attached to it somehow. So you attach stuffed animals to a hat and you earn the title Crazy Hat Lady.
Well, sure. I mean, but go ahead and do that, but then don't get up and talk about how Theo trades away all the good players. Right.
The catcher, you can't remember his name.
Crazy part comes from.
So if you have not seen this, at Crawley's Cubs, he managed to catch the whole thing on video. He was right by her, and he's posted it on YouTube. So I'll include a link in the notes for this episode at ivmb.com. She started off by complaining that Theo and Jed are too young. and I forgot to mention, she was also wearing a fanny pack.
Was it two fanny packs or just one?
You know, it kind of did look like two, but I thought maybe one of those things I thought was a fanny pack was actually part of her body. I don't know. I'm not sure. So she asked why Theo trades away all the good players. Like that one pitcher that he sent to the South Side, and she couldn't remember his name. She was talking about Samarja, by the way, who Theo and Jed did not send to the South Side.
I thought she was deliberately withholding his name as sort of like a rhetorical device.
I was
giving her too much credit there.
Yeah. No, because she goes, absolutely. I forgot his name. Right after, if you listen, she mentions that she can't remember his name. It was not good. But there were some good questions in there. One kid asked about Theo's willingness to trade prospects, and Theo talked about the surplus in certain areas and they would probably dip into the minors in trades to make the 2016 team better. And I mean, most of the answers that they give are what you would expect from these guys, but it's just really enjoyable to listen to them. Shiraz was also on the panel and he talked about Zobrist being part of Plan A going into the offseason. And it was really interesting to hear their comments on these trades and the free agent deals. And it makes you realize how long these discussions go on. And I was sitting in the back and I have to admit, I couldn't hear it real well back there, but I believe that they talked about coming to an agreement with Zobrist very early on in the free agent period. I think maybe even they said November, but it was all contingent on moving Castro, which had been discussed with the Yankees last season. And it was just a matter of those two things happening that like basically the groundwork had been laid and it was just a matter of kind of making it all happen. Someone asked about the Cubs not having top draft picks and about the strategy with the team as far as prospects versus free agency. And Theo said, quote, "We will not abandon pursuit of elite young talent. We're looking 5 to 6 years out." And when they were talking about that, and I thought about them in the office, like looking ahead, like looking at the 2021 season, I just thought, how incredible would it be to see these guys work, you know, to see them in their offices and see how they do this stuff. And at some point they referenced how much fun they have at work and that it's not all business or something like that. But I can tell you, like, these guys love their jobs and they are so good at what they do. It'd
be fun to hear them operating on the phone, like trying to swing deals and things like that.
Yeah, I'd love to see them without like the public filter.
Yeah.
You know, just how they really are, like BSing and really talking like cutting to the chase about certain players. Like, what are you saying about this player when you don't have to add a bunch of fluff?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Another thing, I can't remember, maybe Jed said it. Somebody asked about, like, about Schwarber against left-handed hitters, and they said, I think it was Jed, he said that, you know, they let Rizzo work through that, and that's what they'll do with Schwarber. And but yeah, you're right. I mean, I think it would be cool to hear them, like, wheeling and dealing on the phone in those conversations, but I think it would be even more fun to hear the conversations between themselves behind closed doors. I think it'd be fascinating. One more thing about it was pretty incredible. Actually, I think it was right after that question that someone brought up Jed Hoyer's Twitter account. And I think a fan told everyone to follow Lynn Casper on Twitter, and somebody said, follow Jed. And those in the room that got the joke laughed, and everyone on stage laughed. And so, yeah, if you don't know, look up. It's I think it's Jed Hoyer _. Jed has been asked about it before, and he said that he knows who did it, but it's pretty amazing. I just thought it was pretty entertaining that Twitter handle actually got brought up during the whole thing. One question I did not see coming, other than Crazy Hat Lady, was when an audience member suggested signing Colby Rasmus next season. Oh, okay. And then I couldn't even begin to describe this, but the last audience member on mic was some kid. It was incredible. First off, he dropped the mic and broke it. He dropped the mic and broke it. Like, I don't think he'd meant to drop it. So then they had him go up on stage, and he gets up there and he's just screaming into the microphone about how much he hates the Cardinals. He said he was from St. Louis. And I mean, he was like 13, they said. He goes, yeah, the kids in my class, they hate the Cubs. And they always, I mean, just screaming into the mic. And he's like, they always say, you know, oh, the Cubs haven't won the World Series since 1908. And I say, oh, yeah? Well, the Cardinals haven't won the World Series since 2011. That's almost a decade.
Oh, jeez.
Well, he is from St. Louis.
No, from Springfield.
Oh.
Yeah, he was from St. Louis. No, he is from Springfield. And then he talked about, he goes, Theo, I'm going to like recap what he said. Obviously, I don't have direct quotes or something. But he goes, Theo, I was in, you know, I know that you went back to Boston. It must have been like the Cubs must have played there. I can't remember. I couldn't remember that series, but it must have been recently, last couple of years. He said, you went back to Boston and you had nothing but great things to say about the people of Boston and everything seemed to be fine, or Red Sox fans or whatever the heck. And he goes, I just want you to know, I was at that game and a Red Sox fan chucked a beer at me. I'm not even joking, people.
Wow. See, okay, now you've just convinced me I don't want to go again. I can't stand.
But the fact that it was a kid.
What you just described is like every radio talk, but they're like, all right, let's go out to Lyle. We got a caller on the line, and the guy rants for like 4 hours. And they're like, okay, we're going to cut you off now.
Yeah, I have to admit, though, it looked like Lynn Casper was having fun with him up there. It was like the fact that it was like a 13-year-old kid and like... And like, it was kind of like, yeah, of course they threw a beer at you. Listen to you. You know? But I don't know. Damn. Kid had a lot of enthusiasm. So it was, I don't know.
He couldn't even drink.
No, but I have to admit, like, it was pretty incredible. Those things make me uncomfortable too, Kurt. But like, this kid was pretty entertaining. And you could tell that Theo and Jed were cracking up. So it was pretty funny.
Yeah, you get a lot. You get a lot more leeway when you're 13,
right?
When you're 46.
The other session I enjoyed was the session with Joe Maddon and the coaches. And the most get that guy off the mic moment was when a guy got up and told Joe Maddon what his favorite episode of The Office was.
What?
And then Joe rebounded and said that his was when, I think he said Jan, got a breast augmentation.
Oh,
It was a pretty entertaining session, just because like you could tell those coaches like kind of have fun with each other. But there was really nothing groundbreaking in that. I wish that people would have asked some tougher questions, or not tougher, but just more interesting questions of Joe Maddon, just because, you know, he's super interesting to listen to. But, you know, it was a great opportunity for Joe to have, you know, really show his personality. He cracked a lot of jokes. I did enjoy, he said his favorite ballpark is the Roman Coliseum. And he like dropped it just like in the middle of like whatever he was talking about. So I had to rewind in my head. Like, did he just say what I think he said?
And Corey, Don is asking in the chat, was Bosio in that session?
Yeah, Bosio was there. Yep. Yep. I'm trying to think. So it was like Bosio, Gary Jones. Lester Strode.
One of our faves.
Yeah.
IVMV fave.
Right. Lester. Dave Martinez. I mean, I can't remember who else, Maley, I think was up there.
Hinsky
was up there. Yeah. Yeah. So it was
Trammell was there. Wait, no, no.
Dale Swain.
Ricky Renteria sneaks in sweatpants.
Nobody recognizes him. He's sitting on the end.
No, it was good though. He did talk a lot about Javier Baez, and he talked about how the benefits of young players participating in winter ball, and talked about particular ways that it helps players. I thought that was really interesting. I did bingo that night, which was more fun than I thought. Like Danny was like, "We got to do bingo," and I was like, "I don't know, man. That's." The like inner Kurt came out in me, and I was like, I don't know.
Not happening.
Sounds like people might be there.
I saw the Cubs on Instagram put up a picture of a video of people entering the bingo room, and it was insanity. Like just people rushing for bingo tables. And I'm watching this thing.
Apparently it's a big thing. Danny and I cruised in late and Crawley's Cubs saved a couple chairs for us, so that was cool. I wasn't really paying attention to my card, but Wayne Mesmer, he made it really entertaining. He's really good at that. So yeah, sat with some Twitter folks, had a good time, and went to dinner and with Danny. Mike was at our meetup at Guthrie's, so it was cool to see him. And got to hang out with Heather a little bit before bingo. It was nice to see her again. And I met another listener during bingo from the Quad Cities. I think she said their name is Betsy, but it was kind of loud in there. So maybe she said Betty. So if you're listening, Betsy/Betty, thanks for saying hi. It was nice to meet you. So they did like, okay, so there's bingo, and the like prizes were actually pretty cool. It's like flags that were flown over Wrigley Field and, you know, like retired players' flags, like a Santo flag, like the big white one with blue pinstripes, and the prizes were cool. A lot of autograph stuff and things like that. So Friday night, Ryan Dempster did like a late night with Ryan Dempster, you know, his like Letterman type show. And so they had a sign, like a cardboard sign for late night with Ryan Dempster, and then they had all the players that were guests for his show sign it. So it was like Schwarber, Bryant, Rizzo. I think like Lester, Lackey, Arrieta. I think those were the signatures on it. Okay. So they're showing it, and we were kind of talking at our table, like what do we think it would go for? It's like a, you know, it was an auction thing, and Crawley's Cubs, he said 1200, and I was like, yeah, that sounds about right. I guess like that to me, I wouldn't pay 1200, but I could see it, you know, it's for charity and stuff like that. Like, what do you guys think that would go for?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds, what you just said sounds about right. 1,000 to 1,200 bucks, something like that.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it went for significantly more.
Yeah.
$5,100.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
$5,100. I was like, man, that is a lot of money.
Well, somebody's going to get a little write-off.
Deep pockets.
Yeah, and like, I don't know, the guy that went up there, like, he didn't really look like a guy that had $5,100 in his pocket.
You know? Thought it was $51.
No, and then everybody's like, man, that guy, like, he must be loaded or something. And then, like, Wayne Messmer goes, he owns a Dairy Queen or something like that. And I was like, well, he doesn't own, like, Dairy Queen. He's not Warren Buffett who owns Dairy Queen. Like, he owns a franchise.
He owns one of those used to be Dairy Queens. Now it's something different.
You got to sell a lot of brazers to have $5,100. Okay. Then I subscribed to Vineline and I won an Adam Warren autograph right there.
Ooh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Yep. So on the topic of autographs, good Lord, man, autographs. That is still nowhere near my jam. I have no interest in that. The crowd for autographs is insane, and I think it was pretty overwhelming for players, especially young ones. I know Wes from Cubs Fans in Oklahoma Facebook group, he ran into Schorber late on Saturday, and Schorber was a little bit short with him, I believe. That's what I read on their Facebook page anyways. And Wes was there all weekend. He understood. But I saw, like, you know, some people replying to that saying kind of like, hey, that's his job and sentiments like that. And I'll tell you, I can't blame those guys for being exhausted with it all. There is no escape for them. They can't sneak out of the hotel. There's hordes of people all hours of the day. And nothing, you know, this is the first time that they're seeing their teammates since that Mets series. And they probably just want to hang out and have fun, and they cannot move in that hotel. There's fans just prowling elevators and hallways everywhere, and it's pretty insane. And I guess I felt the need to kind of stick up for Schwarber, you know, because I saw that some people were not real happy with that, or I don't know, just kind of had negative things to say about it. And, you know, I had the opportunity to meet Schwarber and interview him for the podcast when he was in the minors. And he's maybe the most down-to-earth ball player I've ever met. He is super nice. And when I talked with him, he seemed like a very normal person, which is probably why he got overwhelmed at the convention. And I would imagine that there are probably other players that had to brush people off or something like that, because it is overwhelming. And if you tried to stand there and sign every autograph, you'd be there for hours. I mean, it's just...
I can understand both sides. I mean, I understand that, like, the players are people. That's number one. And the flip side of it is that, well, they also make millions of dollars that are paid for by the people, and these people just sort of want a little access. So I totally get both sides. People being like, hey, I'm here, and you're here to be with us, the fans. So
yeah, I think it's just like, you know, we went to spring training. And when you're there, it's just a lot more laid back. And I think a lot of people are looking for autographs and stuff, but it's not so, I mean, it's because there's no escape. They're trapped in this hotel that doesn't have a lot of space, and they can't go unnoticed. You know, if let's say they have, like, friends that they want to meet somewhere, they have to allow, like, an extra 2 or 3 hours to get out of the freaking hotel if you wanted to sign everybody's autograph. You know, I mean, it's just
they don't have, like, a back exit or something. They can
disguise
to a car.
Yeah, that would be hilarious,
like,
to wear
a suspicious looking trench coat, like, walking out,
or like one of the players dressed as a crazy Cubs fan, like crazy hats.
No, they walk out like with one of those, like, Cubs emoji faces, but it's their own face.
The Greek tragedy or Schwarber, something.
Schwarber's wearing 3 fanny packs trying to get out of the hotel.
One fanny pack over his face. It's unzipped with eye holes.
Oh, man. So, yeah, that's...
Yeah, Mrs. Doubtfire costume.
Oh, man. That's a joke for the people that were here pre-show. So that's really all I have to say about that, as I talked for like 45 minutes probably. That's Cubs Convention 2016, and next up, spring training. I mean that's right around the corner, so
yeah, I'm pretty excited now that I'm officially going, so
yeah,
I can be less passive about
have you officially announced it on here?
I don't know if I have, but yeah, I'll be there from Saturday to, let's call it Tuesday. I'm flying out Wednesday morning, so Wednesday doesn't count, but Saturday to Tuesday.
So we all three of us will be there for a period of time.
Yeah. The three amigos.
Yeah.
Look out.
Might get rowdy.
It's gonna
fanny
be
fanny packs and emojis heads. That's, we do need emoji heads for ourselves, don't we?
Oh man.
Do we? I don't know.
I think we do.
Yeah, we do. Make that happen. Who has access to something like that?
You're the graphic designer.
I know. I don't do emoji heads though.
That'll be your new thing.
Oh man.
Side business.
But if you want to, you know, see the tweets and everything, you can go back on the timeline, IVMV's timeline, at IVMV on Twitter. I also posted quite a few pictures on our Instagram. We are at IVMV podcast on there. And while you're at it, if you're following us there, you might as well follow us on Facebook. That is IVMV.com/Facebook. While I was there, I did an interview with Scott Kornberg of the Myrtle Beach Pelicans. And I believe that I'll put that out later this week as a bonus episode. And it's kind of funny. So, you know, he's working with the team down in Myrtle Beach, and I met him and I was like, man, I know that. And this was his first year, you know, with the Pelicans. And I kept thinking, I know this guy from somewhere. I know that I've met him before. And as it turns out, he was like the assistant media relations guy for the River Bandits. So, yeah, when I had been there, you know, when the Cubs affiliates had come through there, he had actually helped me do some things there. So I thought that was kind of funny. But it was a good interview. And yeah, I'll put it out probably maybe Thursday. So real baseball talk. Between now and spring training, the Cubs and Jake Arrieta, they need to come to an agreement.
Yeah, I mean, Friday was the deadline to formally exchange numbers as far as arbitration-eligible players go, and the Cubs had seven of them this offseason, and they came to terms with six of the seven. The seventh was Jake, and Jake and the Cubs exchanged numbers that were fairly far apart. Jake proposed $13 million and the Cubs $7.5 million. So a hearing is going to be scheduled sometime within the first 3 weeks of February, but the Cubs and Jake are still able to negotiate up until the hearing. And I personally expect that they will be able to agree on a number before the hearing ever happens. But a couple things is with Epstein, he's never had to have a hearing with an arbitration eligible player. So there's that. And it's worth noting that if the case does go to a hearing, then the arbitrator picks one of the side's numbers. So Jake would either make the $13 million proposed by him and his agent, or the Cubs, or he would make the $7.5 million proposed by the Cubs. Now, there's not a lot of precedence as far as a player performing so darn well with our Arrieta's service time. Various sources online brought up in 2012, David Price won the Cy Young with the same amount of service time. And he got a $5.76 million raise. His numbers were great, but not quite as sparkling as those of Jake's last year. But you got to keep in mind that David Price was facing designated hitter every game, too. So Area earned $3.63 million in 2015. And so we would expect him to garner a wage near the midpoint of the two proposed figures. So he'll probably get a slightly higher raise than Price did. I would expect between 10 and 11 million. And like I said, I expect them to agree before the hearing. But his raise is probably going to be a record for arbitration eligible players with the same service time that he's had. Epstein was very just effusive in his praise of Arrieta and saying he played very well. He deserves a raise. He talked about how there's an art to filing those numbers, you know, so they do end up at a reasonable midpoint. So it sounds like they're going to make every effort to try to avoid that hearing, which I think is in their best interest. I guess so. Like one question that I thought of, you know, with this whole thing is, of course, a lot of people, I think a lot of fans would love to see the Cubs extend Arrieta. The question is, you know, should the Cubs just keep Arrieta the next couple of years that they have him under control and then let another team pay him a massive contract when he's 32? Or should the Cubs try to extend him now or at that point?
I would be shocked if there was an extension anytime real soon.
Well, I think you float the offer, but the reality is it seems unlikely. I mean, he's another Boris client too. So,
right.
You know, Boris doesn't do extensions, especially not with Cy Young award winning pitchers.
Well,
is my guess.
But the amount of money that it would take for him to accept an extension would be way too much for the Cubs, you know? Like,
I guess like some people would point to the fact that they didn't sign Price, you know, they didn't go for one of those top tier free agents and went for Lackey instead, that they were perhaps leaving the door open to trying to pay Jake.
Yeah, but it could be. My guess is it's not just him. But they're going to ask crazy money. I mean,
right.
Don't you think there's something to the argument, though, that if you're in his position and would you rather have a season where you could potentially, I don't know, drive your value down or get injured or something like that, as opposed to taking like guaranteed money for the next 5 years or something like that?
Yeah, but even if he had a bad season, okay, look at it this way. If you have a bad season this year in 2016, you still have time to recover. You still have a season to recover your value. If you play really well in 2016, you're that much more valuable.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think it's going to happen. I don't think Boris necessarily wants that in.
But I do wonder sometimes, you know, if there's some sort of conflict between agent and player. Sometimes a player might be like, look, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, if I take 20 mil now versus 30 later, you know, I'll take the 20 and just put it in the bank. You know, I mean, like there's got to be some kind of conversation that only happens between the player and the agent where he's kind of saying like,
but
I want to play for this team and I'm willing to take a little bit of a discount.
Well, we don't know that Arrieta is willing to take a discount for the Cubs. I think you always assume.
We don't, but I'm just saying it's a possibility.
Well, let's look at it this way. If you are the type of person, that came out wrong. I don't want to say that. If you are, if you might at some point take less to play for a team, I don't think that you get Boris as your client or as your agent.
Hmm. You're probably right.
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. And it's just hard to fathom numbers. You know, like, oh, he only made $3.6 million last year, but which is a crazy good deal.
Right.
And he's on track to earn by that point. You know, let's say he does make it to free agency in 2018. I mean, he's $30 million plus by the time contracts just keep blowing up from here on out. That,
right.
I mean, he's like the homeless guy playing Powerball, except he knows he's gonna win. You know. Yeah, I could see he might get a little nuts.
Yeah.
Yep. Now I will mention that Major League, I guess MLB Trade Rumors, there's an article that they wrote about this, is that there's like this thing referred to as the Kimbrel rule that no player can receive a raise more than $1 million larger than the current record raise. So that kind of moderates how much it can be.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's going to keep it, you know, somewhere between 10 and 11 million.
Right. Yep. Okay. Anything
Either
else?
Either way, he's going to go from making like $500,000 to 10 million in a couple of years. Not bad raise. I'm not getting anything like that this year, so
that's great. Yeah, that's,
but you're getting cost of living.
Well, yeah, I mean, seriously, I mean, think about some of these ARB eligible players like Rondon, for example. He made $500,000 last year, and he just signed a $4.2 million deal. Mm-hmm. So it's just like all of a sudden these guys are into the big money. That mm-hmm. it'd be weird to be in their position. I mean, they're already, you know, by our standards of living, they're already doing great for themselves. But to go from that to $4.2 million all of a sudden is nuts.
Yeah,
it's got to be crazy.
Yeah. All right. Do you guys have any internet muscle flexes?
I don't have one this week.
I do.
Can I give a I have a couple, but can I give an in-person muscle flex? It's not even a muscle flex. It's an overheard at Cubs convention.
Oh.
I texted it
convention flex.
Yeah, I texted it to you guys, but as I was walking down to Lizzie's Friday night, you have to go down those stairs, you know, to get down to the lower street. And I was walking and there was like a couple walking up and they were dressed really nice. Like they were, you know, they were kind of like a, you know, couple with their for a night out in the town or whatever. And they were arguing as I was like walking down the stairs and they were coming up and he goes, I'm going to censor this. He goes, F off. I was having a conversation with Brian Sandberg.
Maybe he was having a conversation with Brian Sandberg. Different guy.
Oh,
I think
man.
We should file that away for when our spouses get on us about something.
F off. If I said F off to my spouse, I don't even
know if he would be espoused.
Yes, I would not. Well, I had one and my phone actually just died. So I'm going to have to.
Oh, wow.
Try to recap this the best I can. But on the MLK post from Cubs on Instagram, somebody put something like, thank MLK for Jason Hayward, Jorge Soler, Starling Castro. And I don't know, they may have mentioned a couple other players. You know, nice little statement to honor the holiday. And then somebody a couple down says, are you dumb? Starling Castro's not black.
No, but then somebody had a response after that.
I didn't go further.
I think,
down.
Well, then I think they were trying to figure out if Addison Russell is.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Russell.
Yeah, I saw that exchange. Because I saw a picture of Martin Luther King, and I was like, "Oh, this is a gold mine."
This is money, and that was I was expecting some severe racism, but thankfully not as bad as I expected.
Okay, two more here. This one says, I don't even remember what picture it was for. Maybe it was, I think it was one of the convention pictures on Cubs Instagram, and someone posted, how in the hell are they going to lowball Arrieta? He's going to leave you censored. I'm not going to say it. I know the iTunes.
Mother bleepers.
Yeah, well, iTunes has gotten really, like, really sensitive about their ratings. And if you're not labeled explicit and there's something in there, like, you can get in trouble. So I'm not going to say the F word on the podcast.
Apple.
Yeah. And then here's one more. This was another picture from Cubs convention. And this person says, how much you want to bet that everybody at that wasn't a Cubs fan 2 years ago? And then crazy hat lady's head exploded. Oh man. All right, so that does it for this episode. I hope I was able to deliver a little slice of Cubs Convention 2016 to you. This episode was brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. Our Patreon associate producers are Matthew Macer, Anthony Hutfels, Joshua Hansen, Ryan Shores, Brian Hunt, Andrew Gross, Tim Marr, Ryan Winkle, and the Quad City's own Jason Nunn. We do have a new contributor to thank. Steven from Yuba City, California, recently jumped on the campaign. Thanks for that, Steven. Patreon is how we fund this podcast and how, and really everything that we do with this podcast. It pays for hosting, bandwidth, equipment upgrades, and everything else that goes along with bringing you the finest marginal analysis that you can find on the Cubs. If you'd like to help us keep this thing rolling, you can go to patreon.com/ivyenvy to pledge monthly. The level start at just $1 a month. That's pocket change, a quarter an episode here in the off season. If you feel like you've got a quarter's worth of content from us here in the last hour, then check out the Patreon campaign. There's perks at every level. The perks that I need to get caught up on, actually. Some cool stuff, Ivy Envy stickers, posters, pint glasses. So go to patreon.com/IvyEnvy. That's patreon.com/IvyEnvy. Or you can go to ivyenvy.com and click on the Patreon link that's on the right side of the page. So thank you for listening to this episode. Look for that bonus episode later this week. And we'll all be back next week. If nothing happens, nothing huge happens with the Cubs here in the next week, we'll have a special episode for you next weekend. I'm looking forward to it. And I think that you'll enjoy it if you were a Cubs fan in the 1980s. So thank you for listening. And until then, go Cubs.
Oh, Ed. It was Ed DeMichelle. DeMichelle.
Oh, yeah. You know, I never ran into him. He said he was there, but I never ran into him. Hmm. Unless, I don't know, there was someone that ran past me and just said, Ivy Envy, I like what you do, and ran off. So it could have been that guy.
it was a drive-by fruiting.
Yeah.